Welcome to the Scriptures and Sermon podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada, for Sunday, February the 25th, 2024, the second Sunday in Lent. Thank you for joining us, and we pray that you will feel God's presence wherever you are.
Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Giving and forgiving God, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to illuminate our paths. We thank you for your word that guides us through all of life. Once more, speak to our hearts that your will for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart.
The second reading is a responsive psalm, Psalm 47. To the leader of the Korahites, a psalm. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome. A great king over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises, sing praises to our king, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm.
God is King over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
Let us read the word of God from the book of Psalms 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your right head at your right hand. The sun shall strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you all evil. He will keep you from going out, your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God for his word to us.
It is truly a privilege to be here and to share this incredible moment with you in this Black History Month, as they say. Robert and I got terribly far away. We were terribly young at this time, so we were terribly silly, and I don't think we were terribly good ministers, but we were okay, aren't we? And that's how it is, isn't it? 28 years ago we met, actually. To say, and we had missed each other. I went to Knox College. I didn't stay too long like he did, but I think we were in the same vicinity, even though I think when we met in Barry, he had just finished the first, charge. This was their second. So what a pleasure it is, Colleen, to see you as well, and to really meet all of you this morning as we share the gospel. Let us pray, shall we? Lord God, you are good to us. You have been, and so you are. The Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. So translate this mystery, this eternity into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was preaching at Richmond Hill Presbyterian Church years ago, and so I was terribly excited. Nothing has changed. I get excited and people don't hear nothing. But here's the deal. When I finished my sermon, I went out of the door. You know, I would do the same. That's what you do, Robert. I didn't know. I didn't ask him. And so people have given me all these praises, humdrum, blah, blah, and all well done job and all this good stuff. So this one lady, she was about young, 70 years old. She comes to the door and she says, "Charles, I think your sermon was good." And then she says, "But your Scotch accent did not do it today." That's what I actually did. You know, she actually thought I had a Scotch accent, which, yeah, you know, there you go. I believe that this morning my Scottish accent will not be in the way because we're speaking this morning the Word of God. Somebody said the Word of God is the language of Jesus, and the language of Jesus is the language of love, and everyone can hear it. My sermon title this morning is Life is a Journey. Life is a journey full of questions that will never have answers. Questions. And boy, don't we have all. We have all them. Questions. Why me? Why us? Why this and why that and when and what and all of that, and the psalmist asks the question for us. So he says, "Where? I looked up to the mountain, I looked up there, and I saw nothing." Maybe he saw danger. Whatever he saw was creating this feeling of anxiety in him. There was a sense of hopelessness and maybe helplessness. Where will my help come from? Where? Well, my wife and I know this to be true, as to almost ask these questions, and we did from day go. I wrote a book, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Born to Die. Born to Die. My wife and I were born to die, and if we're alive, surprise, surprise. We were born in the refugee camp in Tanzania. Our parents had just been kicked out in 1959. The first civil war in Rwanda, we were from Rwanda originally, the first genocide happened to our families in 1959. And our parents exiled to Tanzania and others to Burundi, others to Congo, others to Uganda and Kenya. But in this place where my wife and I were born, you could not help but ask the question, why us? Why? It was absolutely a place of despair. Hopelessness and helplessness roamed the jungle. We were in the space, in the place where you feel like everything in the universe, if there was one, including God, had abandoned you. And if God was alive, was there, he did not care. Why? Every day we woke up, Something was there to devour us. Think about that. Every day. Whether it would be the animals in the jungle, the lions. I actually fought the lions. This is a fact. I saved my father from being killed by a lion. But it killed a cow. You can read it in my book if you ever had a chance. They're called Born to Die. If we went to the river, there would be crocodiles. If you blink as a kid, we're fetching water because they had to. You blink, the crocodile would pick you up and take your leg. And did for many of the kids. Our parents prayed every day. They prayed that we would come back. And it's true when we went to the river to fetch water or went to fetch firewood. So you come, it's funny, you come back, we came back. And here's a paradox. We came back, some of us. But then you'd think our parents were this cruel. And then they sent us back. They sent us back. Absolutely telling us the beasts are an integral part of you. Do not be afraid. Why? Why us? There was water was scarce. We had 2 hours to walk to fetch water and a bucket on your head. There was no food. There was a lot of malaria and there was a lot of diseases. We were absolutely attacked whichever way we turned. Why? So for 20 years, my wife was younger, but I lived for 20 years in the refugee camp. She left maybe at 15, but 20 years. In this place of despair, learning, almost running for your life, learning anything under the tree. Why? Why us? You ask those questions, where is God? The psalmist asks, and so I ask, where? Where is God? Where is goodness? Where anything? And for us, for our sake, as the children, where is food? Where is food? Maybe you're asking a question as well. This morning, just like us, depends on what has happened or is happening in your circumstances. Maybe you are asking the question, why cancer? Why would my family be affected and be attacked by this and that? Why? Questions are a part of human life and they have no answers. In fact, you know, you're asking the question, my wife, just to continue our study. We just came back from Rwanda 2 months ago. Her sister today, 2 months today, she died of cancer at the age of 59. We just came back to bury her. My wife's sister, Mary, had just started an incredible organization looking after elders who are homeless in her own home. Her and her husband, they had just retired from the Church of Ireland in Northern Ireland. For 24 years they served in Northern Ireland in the Anglican Church. They just went back to Rwanda and they wanted to help, and she had 5 elders. In fact, most of them, of course, were dying because she was helping them to die with a dignity. That was the point. But just cancer just came like that. Why? Questions, this sense of humanity we go through that seems to have questions, no answers, has helpless and sometimes hopelessness looms deep. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true, isn't it? Like the psalmist, we continue to ask the questions. Nobody told us how long the psalmist stared at the mountain with the sense, where would my help come from? Where is God? Where is it? Where? This could have been a lifetime. He was wondering in the sense of feeling so much lost and nothing. And of course, mountains look empty. Empty. It reminds me when I was in Afghanistan, standing with the soldiers. We had just lost 6 soldiers in Kandahar. They had just been killed, 6 Canadians. And we were at a ramp ceremony in Kandahar airfield. We were doing a ceremony to send them home. And between this place where you sit, we are in Kandahar, in the front of us there, these huge mountains. If you have never been to Afghanistan, you don't know, big mountains around us. And as I was looking, as we were doing the ceremony, because the aircraft in front of us, this, we are here with all the nations of the world, at the tarmac in the airport, in Kandahar airfield, and all our soldiers are ready to send the heroes home. We're praying, and I was looking up. I looked up there, and the mountains were just so naked. It felt empty. If you had dead people in front of you, everything is empty, isn't it? You feel powerless, because death is like a monster that hangs in front of us, ready to attack. Until you feel we would call upon the power of the Holy Spirit. That was not easy. What questions are you asking this morning, and why? Ladies and gentlemen, keep on asking them. What a life is full of questions. It's full of nothing else but questions and struggles and calamities and crises, death and otherwise. Life is not only a journey full of questions, but also life is a journey of hope. 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 This morning, literally, can I move away a little bit?
You're good.
This morning, my wife and I could tell you that it's an incredible privilege. It's an incredible privilege to be here. It's an incredible privilege to be alive. Be alive. I don't know about you. Comes in the morning. The psalmist would say he was now come to his senses. He's somehow, something has just happened. He says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. My help. Are you joking? My hope. My strength. My everything comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And earth. For us, mercy found us. And grace visited us. Not only did we survive, but we landed here. And when we got here, ladies and gentlemen, it's like God gave us a chance and we made a choice. And the choice would be to join the Canadian Armed Forces to be able to participate in the black history. And the black history is a Canadian history. I don't know if you know that the first black chaplain served in the World War I. In the World War I, ladies and gentlemen. That is a little different, not so good part of Canadian history, but this was in the battalion. It's called the Number 2 Construction Battalion, created out of Halifax, or in the Maritimes, they say. And the chaplain was Reverend William White. He was the only commissioned officer serving with this black battalion because you couldn't serve with the whites. In fact, they were fighting to join the black men and women, men in this case, were fighting to join from all over Canada and the U.S. to join, and they were denied because they said the war was a white men's war. Until they needed the black people. So these guys were formed in Halifax, and there was an incredible battalion, and they were sent through England, and they went to France, and their job, listen carefully, their job was to cut the woods, was to cut the trees and the forests, and then they would put the forest, they would several of the timbers and every woods to the soldiers to be able to build the bridges. And then when they build the trenches, you put the timber and the logs so that the ground does not fall. And so many Canadians, men and women, were saved. If you ever go to France, I went there. I went to visit. You will see these trenches. And the logs. Next time when you go there, you see them. Here's the black people. Here's the black battalion was making this. It's like when black people go to the White House today. Say, wow, this was built by us. Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend White was their chaplain. If you go to the chaplain's school in Borden, they never say, you will never hear Reverend White, the first black chaplain in the World War I. You hear the only chaplain, his name is John Foote, Reverend John Foote, a Presbyterian who was a chaplain, a hero in the World War II. Not one. But you never would hear, just like you never hear this battalion. The black people have participated in every sense of the word to build this country and to be part of those who would defend freedom we all enjoy. My wife and I, my wife is a soldier, in case she didn't tell you, I just served 21, I have since served 20 years as a clerk, financial clerk, in the Canadian Armed Forces as a soldier. We joined, so we made the choice to join, to participate in the Canadian spirit, in the what I called the black history, which is the Canadian history, to be able to stand with those who defend the freedom even with their lives. Hope is a sacrifice. It's not just a gift. It's not just grace. It's given to others, to us, for others. It's given to us to give, to make our communities, our country, and our world a better place. What a privilege this is. Ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist would say, my help comes from from the Lord. And so when it comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, you know your hope is tied and your abilities and your capacity is tied to the limitless power, to the limitlessness power of God. So you can conquer anything. So you can do anything. Even when you feel so frail, isn't it? That's living your hope, the hope of salvation, the hope you're living your grace, the goodness that has been imparted upon you so that others can glimpse it and have this joy, this goodness, this mercy that you experience. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're here this morning, isn't it? You join us, will you, to proclaim that it's good to be here. It's good to be alive, isn't it? It's good to be alive. And the hope of Christ, the one who has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. The one who has given us more than we can ever imagine. So because he lives, we don't have to ask too many questions, to worry too much, because it happens and we have no question. We can face tomorrow. Because why? Because Jesus Christ died and rose from the grave, and so he's alive. He's alive. We can do it. And so connect this incredible power of the God of the universe. We join the Psalms to believe that this one, he does not work 24/7 and stop, rather from morning 8 to 5, he works 24/7. He is 24 hours in business of looking after his children and walking along with them. And so because he walks with us, because it's not, it's what it, it's really, it's always who is with you. Who is with you? It's the one who does not slumber nor sleep. So my wife and I put our lives online. Imagine from Africa, we must be crazy. You just came from a dungeon, we're going to this one. And my kids were terribly worried when I went to Afghanistan because we lost so many. And many of them died in front of me. And I picked them up, both the dead and the wounded. That's not just a nice story. And our lives could be snatched just like that. But there we were. Hope is a sacrifice. Walking with the one who has the ultimate power, and so you have nothing to fear. Fear not. His life was never in your hands. It's a journey full of questions, but it's a journey of hope. But even all of that is not in your hands. So we give it. We give it to the glory of his name. Life is a choice, isn't it? When chance has been given to you, when opportunity has been given to you, when grace has been given to you, then you make a choice. And I'm glad you made a choice to be here this morning. How about that? Aren't you glad you're members of this church? Because of you, a lot of great things have happened here, and they will not stop. Not stop. Praise the Lord. They will not stop. Life is a choice. Let me conclude with the African story. When I was young in the jungle, We had cows. One was killed by a lion. My father was saved, so that's better. But my mother and our family would collect cow dung. So cow dung was, of course, just like you do. It's a fertilizer. That's like, what do you call that?
Manure.
Thank you. That's a good one. Life. Almost, I would say it's like manure, but don't quote me too fast now, will you? So they will pile this manure. Thank you, Robert. That's a fantastic. They will pile this manure outside the fence, the little fence. So this pile of manure, if you come in Africa, we do not plant flowers, it's the birds. So you find in this manure, there's rain, eh? The birds are in there, they are picking up worms, they are eating everything for their life, for their good. But at the same time, they are pooping in there. When you come 1 week later, couple of weeks, let's come, you find this beautiful flowers growing in the manure. It's beautiful roses. My wife would say different colors, how about that? Ladies and gentlemen, when you approach the two, you have a choice to make. You can either smell manure, or you can smell roses. This morning, my wife and I hope you too, we choose to smell roses in the grace of the goodness of the one who the psalmist would say, who knows you're coming in and you're going out, who knows you, us, from the womb to the tomb. If I was going to sing, I can't get a tune in the bucket. But Robert, how did we forget that hymn? In the garden. Do you remember that hymn? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Could you say that again? And he talks.
And he talks with me, and he
tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there,
none other has ever known.
Amen. May God bless you now and always. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Scriptures and Sermon Podcast from St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. If you haven't already, please don't forget to subscribe so you can get new episodes each week. Be sure to check out our website, stjohnscornwall.ca, where you can find links to our social media pages and more information on our ministry. Until next time, God bless.